With a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can start streaming the best movies around. From brand new blockbusters like Rocketman and The Lion King to all-time favourites, including the Harry Potter collection. Whatever you feel like watching, we've got you covered. All with no contract. To start your 7-day free trial today, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto renews at $11.99 per month unless cancelled. Cancel at any time. Terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
So Some Families is a new podcast that explores every aspect of parenting through an LGBTQ plus lens.
I'm Lottie Jeffs, an author, journalist and reformed magazine editor, and a mum of one.
I'm Stu Oakley, a film publicist who thought I was used to dealing with divas until I had toddlers.
Some Families will answer questions, break down myths, and share funny, emotional, and true stories. Subscribe now because seriously, you don't want to miss a single episode.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch for Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island and also the Game Brain board game podcast. Joining me is the wonderful, I love this guy. This guy right here. It's Ronnie Karam, the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast, who will soon be enduring the craziness that is Tell it to the heart. Tell it to my heart.
Listen to my heart.
Listen to my heart. Listen to my heart. Which is a song that I always feel like is sung by heart, but it's actually by Roxette.
Well, it's not as cute of a song title when you're actually overweight. It's like, check me for heart disease, you know? I could be dead at any moment. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. So, you guys, well, a few things. First and foremost, hope everyone's doing well and everyone's safe and sound, etc. And as you have probably figured out or heard, we had to postpone all our April shows. And that includes next week when we are supposed to be in Madison and Oklahoma. So we're sorry we'll not be there next week. But to make it up, we are going to do another live stream, live show, live from quarantine show like we did last week with Real Housewives of New York, which was super, super fun. And before that, we did that with New Jersey. We're going to do the premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills next Friday night, the 17th, live on the internet. So we'll have more details with that as it comes. But mark that down on your calendars for next Friday night. Let's have like an event. Let's all gather around the internet fire.
Yeah, the way we did it this year, this last week, was we did a pre-show on Instagram Live and then moved on to our Patreon. So if you want to do the live streams on Patreon, just go to the Crappens on Demand section. That's the $5 section, in case you're confused over there. And you have access to all of our videos. We put up a couple a week, and we're doing all of the Tiger King episodes, except episode one. We didn't do that video, but all the rest of them will be released throughout this week is a big bonus episode marathon of Tiger King. So to watch all of those and all of our archives, just go over to Crappens on Demand, okay?
Yeah, and that's basically what's going on here at Crappens. And of course, there's the Crappens merch. You know what I love? We have this Isolate thing that Ronnie made in Gather font, but it says Isolate. I'm actually going to get one of those. I'm still debating I'm going to get it as like a picture, but I just don't know which size, etc. But everyone go to crappensmerch.com to get that. And also Ben Ron 2020. But Isolate is hilarious and important, and also a public service announcement. So there you go. So go check that out.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got a lot of shows going on right now on Bravo. There's a lot in our schedule, okay? And we're not covering it all. So we do our, we love covering Top Chef. Also, I think because it's a new, it's something that's new and fresh. It came on, at least in the season, it's new.
Yeah.
And, you know, Atlanta, take a seat, Atlanta. Have a, like, have a rest. How many episodes do you need to have, Atlanta? Okay. Calm yourself. Have less episodes. We love you.
Well, they, I mean, here's the thing. Atlanta has also had several weeks off. Like, there was a week off last week. They take, you know, Atlanta does not air against the Super Bowl or the Oscars, or maybe against the Oscars, but, like, there are times when Atlanta does not air, so their season gets stretched out. I've actually really enjoyed this season, but last night's episode felt a little bit like they had thrown together some elements to fit in order. We're going to talk, like, we're going to talk about Top Chef today. But I do want to, well, let's just touch real briefly on Atlanta, on what happened last night. Basically, Todd complained. Basically, Todd was like, oh, Candy, you're spending so much time. You're ignoring your family. You're ignoring your family. And I never got to be a cameraman, which is what my dream always was. You know what, Todd? Stop projecting your jealousy out onto Candy. He didn't want her going out to an event because he said that she wasn't spending enough time with the family. Which I think is bullshit. I think it's that he's jealous that she gets to do all this cool stuff and that he's really not doing anything. And now he's going to even blame her for taking away his dreams and making him look like a gold digger. That was all on you, sir. If you wanted to stay being a cameraman or a production assistant, you could have done that. Don't blame Candy for it.
Yeah, and also I think they did produce a couple of shows in the beginning and they just didn't work or something. They failed or something. So shut up. You had your chance. And also, Candy's not the one begging for babies. You were. Okay? As I recall, Candy was like, I have had a baby. I don't need to be having babies. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And you were like, and then guilted her into having goddamn babies. And so now she's had two. So, listen, you beg for babies. Now you have babies. Congratulations. You won. Now, shut up. And take care of your damn babies. Yeah.
Also, who was the 1 year who didn't talk to his own daughter for months on end? That was you. So don't like start lecturing people about how much time they have to spend with their family if you're not even going to talk to your own daughter. To me, it just was like he was fully projecting deep dissatisfaction with his own life, aka midlife crisis, because he's trying to make her feel bad. He's trying to bring her down to the point where she does feel bad about doing like great stuff. And like she is bringing the money. And Candy's like, you know, see now, Riley, people have this idea of Todd being a gold digger. I'm like, yeah, because he gave up what he really wants to do to, like, he clearly did not prove that he is, like, his own person, right? Because he totally just, like, as soon as he met Candy, he stepped away from everything that he normally does, which is why people probably think that. So, it's just, fuck Todd.
Yeah, now that said, she does have that cute little baby Ace over there, and he's like, I miss my mommy! So that was really sad, you know, at the same time, like,
sad.
You had a kid, you have, I mean, I don't know, what the fuck do I know? But I'm not a mother. Here's
but who knows
what know.
Todd's been saying to Ace? Who knows what Todd has been saying to Ace? Like, do you miss your mommy? Do you miss your mommy? To the point where Ace starts to cry. Like, I would not be surprised if that shit was happening.
Well, I watched this scene very closely, so I was like, what the fuck is Ace's problem? You know, am I going to have to start yelling at Ace now on this podcast? Which, of course, I wouldn't. He's too cute to yell at. But he mommy, look at this! And then he threw down his Legos, and she couldn't see it, and she was talking about her photo shoot. And that's why he's upset. He's like, I just want my mom to watch me slam these Egos, or these Legos, all over the kitchen counter. You know? And so I say, maybe you'd cry less if you stopped slamming Legos all over the kitchen counter. How about that? Okay?
Yeah.
Now who's to blame?
Yeah.
Ace, your mom is gone, and it's because of you and your Legos. So there, Ace.
And maybe if Todd were just like an awesome enough dad, maybe like Ace would just even forget about mom and just be like So maybe why don't you pull up, Todd? Okay, why don't you pull up?
Okay, so no, I think we're just in the mood to be evil, basically.
We are.
I have no idea.
But here's what I do know.
Here's what I do know. I don't care. Okay, that's what I know. Yeah. I don't give a shit. I don't care how much time you spend with your kids. I don't care how much time you spend on the set or what charity parties you go to. Here's what I don't care about. Todd's feelings, okay? I don't watch a show for Todd's feelings, and especially not for that long. Like, the whole last part of it, they weren't even cutting to other characters. Like, okay, Todd was crying. Now let's cut to see what, you know, Nene's doing, you know. It was just, like, straight up Candy and Todd for the whole last part of the episode. And then the other part of the episode was Kenya. I mean, Jesus Christ, you made your choices, okay? Shut up over there.
Yeah, there was a lot of Kenya. It was like Kenya with the power of attorney, and then Kenya with her lawyer. I have to admit, I don't even remember what happened in those scenes because we've seen those scenes a million times on this show and a million other shows. So, like, I know how it works. It's she's going to talk about the marriage. The lawyer is going to be empathetic and then say some harsh realities of what has to be done next. And then she's going to start to cry because she never thought that this is the way things would end up. Because we've seen that scene play out on every single Bravo show ever, except for maybe Southern Charm. But even Southern Charm, probably, with Catherine and Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty bored with it overall. And then Nini's redemption tour, where she's like, ha, 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 look at me. I'm just hilarious and fun-loving. Look at me. Look at me flirting with my husband. I was like, really? Are we supposed to buy this? We just saw you 2 weeks ago. Stop faking Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, but at least Marlo did have a nice redemptive moment where she was being a little bit more vulnerable, and she was talking about her struggles with trying to have a kid and everything. And she starts telling us about how she's always been so hard, and that her nephews have made her less hard, and that she's like okay with being vulnerable, which I thought was very nice. We'll see if she actually puts that into practice, because I almost feel like there's a cynical side of me that feels like Marlo is just saying that because she knows it's like a good beat to have, you know, in your story. But either way, I actually fell for it, and I was like, oh, Marlo.
And then, yeah, they had this March of Dime events, because Porsche's the face of March of Dimes. And so all the ladies were talking about their personal struggles with having babies, and, you know, and they were telling all these really touching stories. And then it gets to Kenya, who's just such a fucking asshole. I mean, it gets to Kenya, and she's like, oh, yeah, Shamia, nice story. Remember when that happened, and I was the first one you called? That was nice. And remember how I dropped everything to help you? I was like, leave it up to Kenya to even make fucking March of Dimes about her. You know?
Exactly. And then Portia just looking like, I didn't realize they were close like that. Okay. Yeah, that was a surprising moment. Also, Eva had her baby. So there's that. That's over with. And Cynthia did something. I don't remember what. She just hung out with Nini and was like pretending. She was acting like Nini. She was doing her part in the Greek tragedy that she never got to do. But my last thought, by the way, just going back to Candy and Todd, because, you know, what's like, why not just keep, you know, harping on something? But, you know, for all of Todd's complaints, okay, let's not forget what happened. They even had a flashback to the scene where they had a big fight when they were in, like, the OLG crepe factory or something. Whatever they were doing, you know, like, the next, like, decrepit building that Todd found. And he's like, this will be great. This will be great. And Candy is like, see, now, Todd, you can't keep opening these places. And he's like, it'll be okay. And she's like, we're putting money into this for a year and nothing's happened. And he was like, acting like, oh, no, 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 everything's going to be great. And she was like, just wait until one recession comes through. Well, guess what? Here we are. That's all I've got to say is point to Candy. Point to Candy, zero for Todd.
Yeah, unfortunately, that point costs her money. So that sucks. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's why Todd, this is why Todd drives me nuts. Because she was saying, wait for, like, I've ridden out a recession. I know what it's like. He hasn't really done that. And now here we are, unfortunately, for not just Candy and Todd, for a lot of people. And just, like, that's why I get so angry. Like, people like this who are so, what's the right, like, cavalier about spending other people's money. And I know it's their money, they're married. But
yeah, they're so Kristen cavalier-y.
Other people's.
Yeah,
very cavalier-y.
I watch way too much Bravo, because my first thought when all of this happened, and they were like, oh my God, the economy's going to tank. I was like, Candy's right. It's like, that was my first thought was, God, I should have listened to Candy.
She's going to be on CNBC.
Right. So let's move on to Top Chef, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. So previously on Top Chef, Ruth Reichel was like, fuck all of you guys and your chunky balls.
Yeah. I'm going to award this to Kevin and his clunky balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Previously on Top Chef, someone killed a tuna in vain. That's what I got to say about that. Fuck all of you.
And then Kevin, you know, I know a lot of people like Kevin and they're not liking that he makes me this crazy, but he just does. I can't help it. Okay. This is Kevin. He's like, winning this challenge made me very emotional. I came to Top Chef the first time to tell a story. And since winning the fight with cancer, I thought now is the time to come back for a different part of my story. I have more of my story to share. Shut up with your fucking story, okay? Make me a sandwich, okay? I'm not here to hear your fucking story, okay, Maeve Benchley?
Yeah. I don't even get that reference, but I liked it. Let me tell you something. I am so happy that he is healthy and back and beat cancer. That is a given, and, you know, bravo to him. But that being said, his story the first time around was that he had like a bacon tattoo or something like that. A pig or a bacon. It's not as bad as Brother Love, who actually had like mise en place as his tattoo. And it's like, look, mise en place. Like, shut the fuck up, okay? But bacon tattoo is also really, it's like the only thing that worse would have been if he actually had like a tattoo of kale, all right? So his story to begin with was not great. It was like a very, the editor should have like returned it back and said, please do more writing on the story because we do not like where it is right now.
Yeah. And then we got, I love the flashback of Padma just telling off Stephanie. Because Stephanie's like, oh my god, Padma was so scary. And then it cuts to Padma going, I thought it lacked flavor. I thought it lacked punch. I thought it lacked...
This is why people Indian food, the kind of stuff you get from Trader Joe's, it lacked acid and salt and a point of view. I hated it. What did you think? Oh, she already ate all of it. Typical.
Yeah. So then Nini is talking to Stephanie and Karen, and she's like, you know, like so many talented women are here, but we just don't have the confidence level that the guys have. Like, welcome to the world, okay?
I know.
There's nothing more confident than a mediocre straight white guy, okay?
I mean, seriously. I mean, Ronnie just spoke some real truth there. And then you just hear the guys off in another room just guffawing about something. You just know something stupid. Like, guess what I did? I switched out some balsamic for a reduced sherry vinaigrette. Yeah, bro. Like, bro. It's like, yeah, I found a perch, and I was going to use a halibut, but I went with perch instead, and it rocked. Yeah, bro. Yeah, perch.
One time, this lady asked me for gluten-free. I was like, it's gluten-free. There was totally wheat flour in that bitch. Yeah.
I'm saying it right now. Escarole is the new romaine.
So Karen is like, yeah, you know, I've just been kicked in the face over and over. It was so hard for me last time I was here, and it ruined me for years. Like, it ruined me. Cried every day. But, you know, now I have a support group, and we're just going to be here for each other. And then she spends the rest of the episode crying. Did you notice that? Yeah. Like, every time they cut to her in Diary Room, she had been sobbing. It's like they just peeled her off of the floor. And we're like, okay, you need to stop crying at least long enough to narrate the scene. And she's like, okay, I've got it. I can do it.
She has throttled rage the entire episode. Like, Karen is so nice that she won't allow herself to be angry, but you can see it like coming through. And here she's like, yeah, I really got kicked in the face a lot. And it ruined me for years. I mean, it's hard to believe I even won a James Beard Award considering how ruined I was from this show. But I guess as the only one with a James Beard Award who still gets no respect from all the guys, I guess that's just my cross to bear.
God, even when I was winning the James Beard Award, they said, and now presenting this James Weird Award, and I was like, God, even here, kicked in the face.
It's just so funny how I actually have a James Beard Award, a real one, and Malarkey is the one who winds up hosting a TV show. Malarkey almost rhymes with patriarchy, I guess. I don't know. I'm just saying things now.
So next up, Padma's like, hello.
Famous person speaking.
Hello. I'm wearing mustard. Yes, it's what Gail puts on top of her wrist so she can have something to chew when she's out of French fries.
So far, you've been cooking for some of the biggest names in the business. And Gail. Today, please welcome two masters of their craft and frequent collaborators and fellow famous people, Ali Wong and Randall Park. Come on out, famous people.
Woo! So everybody fans out over these two. They're like, oh my god! And then Ali Wong sees Nini and she's like, nice glasses. I have glasses too. Glasses sisters!
I love glasses. I would wear glasses if I didn't have perfect vision. Are we bonding yet, famous person? I need to get to a point where I can say, my friend, Ali Wong.
What is the version of clothes? What is the version of glasses in relation to clothes? Like, what could I wear to correct my figure? Yeah, I don't need those kinds of glasses either. Anyway, famous people.
So Randall starts talking about how when he was at UCLA, he had, I believe it was an Asian American theater troupe, right? Is that what he said? Asian American theater troupe? And that they had like a fried rice competition. They would have one and people would make all sorts of crazy fried rice. And Allie actually submitted one that had cranberry in it. And she's like, no one liked it because I had cranberry. But then like the one that won was like chocolate fried rice. So based on that, the challenge is you have 30 minutes to create the best damn fried rice you can think of to make us famous people happy.
Now, how can they make fried rice in 30 minutes? Can somebody explain this to me? I know that I'm always, you know, pretending that I care about times on this show, so why not today? Doesn't it take like a good 20 minutes to make rice? I mean, you gotta...
I was assuming that they were given rice that was already cooked. Assuming, because I thought that too, like, they're not even making rice, there was no footage of the rice, so I think they were given rice.
Oh, okay. I mean, you can pressure cook rice, but even in the Instant Pot, you put 1 minute to cook white rice, which is amazing, but it still takes 5 minutes to warm up, you know?
Yeah, it has to come up to pressure, so I've actually never done rice in the pressure cooker, but I think your point stands. I think that there was, but honestly, even if it did take 15 minutes to make some rice, they could, in like a rice cooker, it's still plenty of time to make a fried rice.
Yeah. Well, this is a very good example of why you should never let like wacky people cook for you. Cause Randall's like, you know, here's what I like with my fried rice. Jelly beans, you know, Twizzlers. Yeah,
they give them like Food Network type ingredients where they get to like, they have crazy ingredients that they have to incorporate into it.
Yeah. And Allie likes anything that smells like a foot. So she likes cheese and frog legs. Gross, you guys.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
With a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can start streaming the best movies around. From brand new blockbusters like Rocketman and The Lion King to all-time favourites, including the Harry Potter collection. Whatever you feel like watching, we've got you covered. All with no contract. To start your 7-day free trial today, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto-renews at $11.99 per month unless cancelled. Cancel at any time. Terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
So Some Families is a new podcast that explores every aspect of parenting through an LGBTQ+ lens.
I'm Lottie Jeffs, an author, journalist and reformed magazine editor, and a mum of one.
I'm Stu Oakley, a film publicist who thought I was used to dealing with divas until I had toddlers.
Some Families will answer questions, break down myths, and share funny, emotional, and true stories. Subscribe now because seriously, you don't want to miss a single episode.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Soccarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Let's run some errands with Emily Arin. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber. One day you're Rachel Zinn, and the next day you're out.
The Bay Area Betches.
Patches.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Blaine.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
Let's give them a kiss. It's Austin and Marissa.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood. Nancy Cease and Desisto. Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Incredible edible Matthew sisters. And she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys. So that's like, Anya Marx gets that go. So the chefs all attack this table of ingredients like animals, like usual. And Allie is like so excited to be part of it because she's clearly a fan. And there's this really quick shot of Padma grabbing Allie by the arm and be like, quick, out of the way. You're a celebrity. You can't be near this close to all the normal people. Out of the way, Allie.
I don't want you to get hurt, Allie.
Too many fat people are charging at you. Be careful, Allie.
So they start putting together this fried rice stuff. And Leanne's like, I'm Chinese, and fried rice is a lifestyle. I was like, please don't fuck this up, Leanne, because you've had a rough time so far this season. And I really like you.
I know. I really love Leanne, and I've been rooting for Leanne since season one. But she has really been like messing up a lot. Like every time she comes back to the show, I feel like she messes up a lot.
Yeah.
But and then Brian Voltaggio was like, "Well, fried rice is not something I've made a lot because I'm pretty much as white as they come. But it's something I really respect, and by respect I mean I really never think much about it, but thought I'd say something nice in case someone accused me of being ignorant. So I respect it.
I'm going to make shrimp fried rice, which will be more like a porridge, and then there will be Frito Tagarachi on top. I was like, I just heard porridge. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to make it's going to be sort of like a fried rice, but instead of rice, it's going to actually just be a piece of branzino that I'm going to sear on a bed of mixed greens.
So Allie goes to check on Karen, and Karen's like, I'm confident. I'm so confident.
Yeah, and then and Randall tells Leanne that he loves her restaurant, so she's really excited. And then Kevin is like, well, here's the next chapter of my story. I actually don't even know how to make fried rice. That's right, I'm a chef in a national competition here tonight. Don't know how to make fried rice. So I'm just going to use this giant jar of wieners, because even if I don't win, I can say wiener five times. Yeah. Hey, why are all the women looking at me like that? Wow.
He's going to make a hot dog whiskey and Cheeto fried rice. Wow. And Nini is using watermelon for hers, which, God, I like you, Nini. Stop. What are you doing?
And even she didn't know. She was like, I don't know why I grabbed this watermelon. I just did.
Yes. And then who's making spam with shallots?
I think that might have been Jamie. Jamie was making spam with, and then it was, they weren't allowed to say spam. They had to call it canned meat. But yeah, he was doing that.
Oh. He's like, well, I have a history with immunity, so I would really like to win immunity. That would be good.
Yeah. And then Eric is making peanut butter and jelly fried rice because it's, you know, he talks about how his mom used to just always make, at the end of the week, a fried rice and just dump everything into it. So peanut butter and jelly fried rice is what he's doing, which honestly, at first I was like, that's odd. But then the more I started thinking about it, I was like, that's probably delicious.
Yeah, I make like oatmeal, overnight oats with that. That's good.
Mm.
So Padma's like, 1 minute, non-famous people. basically, hands up, utensils down. That's my favorite part. Jazz hands.
Jazz hand. Look at me trying to be funny like two comedians. We're three comedians standing here together. Three very famous comedians, two of which have great vision. One is working on it. Anyway, friends for life.
R-O-F-L, right, famous people? So then they start going around. Everyone presents their food. And Kevin's like, in this chapter of my story, I'll be calling this Bachelor Fried Rice. It's got wieners, Cheetos, wieners, and wieners. And then Malarkey is like,
have you ever made this before? Sorry.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she goes, have you ever made this before? Look at that, Allie. Just like the way I interrogated the normal.
So then Malarkey's like, vegan pomegranate, forbidden fried rice, frog legs, Audubon curry, curry curry.
Yeah.
He's all about that.
Vaduvan curry? He does that in the quickfire and the final one also. Plus, you know what really bothers me about Brian Malarkey? And a bunch of them do it, but when he does it, it's just like the worst. When they come up, he goes, well, we have gone with a fig and pomegranate forbidden rice, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what are you talking about we have gone with? It's just you. It's just say I have made you. I can't stand the we have gone with. It just drives me nuts.
You've always got to be prepared to blame an underling when shit goes south.
Yeah, seriously.
So Eric has his peanut butter and jelly. And Stephanie does her Nashville fried frog legs.
With slaw. Mm-hmm. And Nini does the watermelon fried rice with yuzu and fish sauce. And Gregory does a frog leg and salt cod fried rice. Ugh. I actually think that sounds good. I can see that being like a real, like, see, I can see that being like an umami nage, as Stephanie says later on. Which is so pretentious. So Jamie, does the spam thing. And Brian Voltaggio does the shrimp fried rice. And so it's basically like a rice porridge with some crisped up fried rice on top with some other stuff. And Padma goes, so did you make us a fried rice or did you make us a rice porridge? Answer carefully. Answer carefully.
It's like, well, I enjoy, you know, I don't really know fried rice, so I did both with a porridge on the bottom. And has my brother done this yet? Could you please text him and tell him I did it first? Thanks.
Michael did it better.
So then Karen presents her Nasi Goreng. And Padma's like, this is exactly like Nasi Goreng.
I hate it. There are two things in this world that I hate. Nasi Goreng and Gail's patterns. Congrats, you got one of them.
Allie starts, and she's like, I have two children under five. Wacky children, that's for sure. So this was all really wackily delightful. Hilarious! Jamie, the spam is just so salty, it just overpowered the rest.
Yeah, and then Nini, she's like, Pamela goes, I love the idea of the watermelon, but in the size that you have it, it watered down the flavor of the rice. I almost was going to say something mean about Gail. But even I had to hold myself back.
So Allie's fave was Kevin. He's like, chapter. This is the beginning of a new chapter. Thank you. She's like, Kevin, it was a party in my mouth. Wacky. And Randall liked Eric's the best. Peanut butter and jelly. But
yeah,
Padma, Karen, the texture is such a part of the experience. And you nailed that Nasi Goreng, which tasted just like Nasi Goreng. Whoa.
As the resident Nasi Goreng expert here, I'd like to turn this over to these two famous people to say who wins.
Kevin!
And so Kevin wins, and then there's this close-up of Karen just looking pissed. It's like a long close-up of her being like, well, okay, I did have a perfect Nasi Goreng, but I guess his wiener fried rice, whatever that is. I'm sure he has a James Beard Award to back that up, too.
Yeah.
That wins.
But I worked hard, so somebody getting shit out of a snack bar can beat me. Great, guys. Thanks. Yeah,
great. I mean, mine was perfect. It was literally perfect, but that's okay. That's okay.
Los Angeles is home to more hookers than any other city. Also, museums.
On top of that list is the Getty Museum, named after one of the great actresses of our time, Estelle Getty. Chefs, you have to interpret a work of art that was portrayed on the Golden Girls and put it onto a plate. Am I reading this right?
There are four art movements, ballet, tap, jazz, and spirit fingers. Do we need to re-record that? Is somebody going to lift up some cardboard for me to read? That would be great.
There are four art movements, M&M's, Cheetos, old cardboard and some rancid fish. Oh, wait, that's what Kelly ate for dinner last night. Forgive me.
I would like to present your guest judge, Nazi Garang. Is anybody going to lift up anything for me to read? Or am I just going to make this up?
Joining me tonight as a special guest is someone who's very famous, who I'll say is my friend.
Okay, chefs, we're going to pick knives. Every chef with the same movement will compete against each other for that movement. One will win, one will be safe, one will kill themselves in the middle of the Hooker Museum, and one will get run over by a car ridden by Gail trying to get to ribs.
While you guys figure out what you want to eat or serve, I'm going to hang out with my friend Lena Waithe. Okay, have fun. So Malarkey's like, well, I don't care which knife I draw. I don't understand any of these different styles of art. I just hope to draw knives with people I have better chances of beating. I was like, how appropriate is that? That Malarkey literally has like an artless soul, right? Yeah. Like that is,
and is proud of it.
It is proud of it. Like he doesn't even know how to interpret art. Yeah. He's like, fuck art.
Art sucks.
Yeah. Let me just beat people.
He's like, please get me the artist who paints halibut, please. halibut and stupid glasses. That's what I'm hoping for, guys.
All right, so we have our four teams. Neoclassical will be Jennifer, Eric, and Karen. Baroque is Brian, Lisa, and Jamie. Not famous is Malarkey, Nini, and Leanne. And stupid and ugly, Stephanie, Melissa, and Gregory. Have fun.
So we go to the Estelle Getty. And Melissa's like, wow, it's so nostalgic. This was my first kitchen job at 17 years old. I can't wait to look at art and be inspired. This girl's a serial killer, okay? This girl's too perfect.
She is perfect.
She's nice. And she's kind. Happy. She's talented. She's even keeled. Yeah, she's happy. She's like genuinely happy. I don't trust the bitch. Someone figure out what's going on with her.
We should also mention that Karen, well, because Kevin won the quickfire, he got to choose which group he's going to be with. So he chose the group that Karen's on. And Karen's like, well, this sucks. I mean, it just means it's one less chance to win. And he has immunity. And I just really wish I had won that quickfire. I mean, you would think that a James Beard Award winner who had made, quote unquote, the perfect Nazi Garang would win. But, like, you know, Cheetos, who'd have thought? Who'd have thought that would be the perfect Nazi Garang? So happy.
Yeah. Oh, get over it, Karen. It's fine. It's not like if it had been him and you still only had three people on your team. But no, come on. It's four people. It's an additional person on your team. You'll survive this. Stop your whining.
Yeah. So Stephanie is very intimidated by her Rococo team. I don't even remember who's on it, even though I just said who it was. But she's intimidated because she's basically, she's like lost all her confidence after she attempted to cook Indian food for Padma. So she's just barely hanging on by a thread at this point.
Yeah. And then they take a look at all this art in the Renaissance period. And Nini's like, I'm from NOLA, which means rebirth, because, you know, Katrina and stuff. So I'm going to make gumbo. And I was like,
Yeah. Well, her whole thing was Renaissance, because of Renaissance, like the New Orleans went through a Renaissance, essentially. And so she says this thing. And then they cut to Malarkey looking at her like, what's this stupid woman saying right now, idiot?
Yeah, I love when they just close up on Malarkey's face, because it always looks like he's being horrible, no matter what's being said. But I think that's just his face.
I mean, well, it's his new face, yes. So then the Baroque team, they're like, the Baroque team is like Brian Voltaggio and Lisa, and I forget the other one. But they are, like, walking to their Baroque gallery, and Brian Voltaggio's shoes are, like, super squeaky. I don't know, did he step in a puddle or something? But he's just, like, squeaking through the Getty, and Lisa is like, you're really loud, chef.
Oh, I thought they were Lisa's shoes.
Oh, no, I thought they were Brian's shoes.
That's so funny. But I'm always that person who's walking through the museum, like, and Voltaggio's like, my wife is a graphic artist, so I'll be great at Baroque. And then Lisa just keeps saying over and over. She's like, well, what I'm really sensing from all of these pictures is that there's like clashing. There's religion clashing with civilizations that are clashing with, I don't know, thongs. And those thongs are clashing with cows. And those cows are clashing. I don't know. It's clashing. It's a lot of things clashing. So I'm going to clash.
That is so Lisa to look at the Baroque period and her takeaway is angry animals, right? Like, that is, she's like, there was an angry boar. I'm like, so I'm a little rusty on all my art movements, but I thought like one of the defining features of the Baroque period was like things were dark, right? It wasn't like the, like, it was like the darkness after the Renaissance, right? Isn't that like Rembrandt's whole thing? Am I could be wrong, but I was like, I was surprised that that was not like an element any of their food. Of course, I could also be 100% wrong, which is why
it is characterized. It is characterized by ornate detail in architecture. The period is exemplified by the Palace of Versailles and by the work of Bernini in Italy. Major composers include Vivaldi, Bach, Handel. Well, that's music and architecture and stuff. I think it's overly ornate. Like a paisley red velvet jacket with tassels, or music that has a lot going on and might include a harpsichord.
I mean, that makes sense because, like, if you use Baroque as an adjective, it means something that's, like, very complex or, like, hard to, like, navigate through. So I get that, but I don't know. I clearly have to brush up on my artistic periods.
Oh, well, clearly I don't because I have Google, so I know everything, okay? Thanks, Internet. Thanks for making me so smart. So Kevin is crying. Is Kevin crying? Neoclassicism.
Probably.
So it's Karen, Kevin, Jen, and Eric. I must have meant Karen is crying because Karen always looks like she's crying. I'm having trouble because, like, I mean, I'm taken by the straightforward style of the painting, but it's just so hard. This is really hard.
Yes. She's struggling how to figure out how to do this, something straightforward. And yes, so she has like those shiny eyes of like she just cried about neoclassicism. So then ultimately we go over to Whole Foods where these people act like monsters as usual, just like diving in onto their carts. I think Malarkey was first. I think Malarkey set the tone for like the monstrosity of them all. Just like a bunch of Wolverines terrorizing the store as they get their ingredients.
Yeah, and it's like rock music. It's like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives music. It's like... Okay, you're in a Whole Foods, okay? Let's stop pretending like we're the Stones on acid right now. So Jen's like, well, you know, what I'm doing is neoclafora. Does anybody know how to pronounce this goddamn thing I'm making? Fuck.
because she's gonna do a dish that's one color with a fish that's the star, and then Malarkey's like, I'm gonna do a halibut in a vadevan French curry, even though I just did a vadevan French curry about 30 minutes ago. And you know, so basically, because I noticed that in the Renaissance art there were a lot of halos, so it'll be like it's the halo of halibut. Get it? I'm like, was there a joke there?
He's like, I'm so into root vegetables and parsnips, you know, basically Jesus's hat before they shot him in the head, you know, for like turning on the mob or whatever the hell that was. So I was like, the crown of thorns, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, hats, love hats, halos, they're all great.
Yeah. And also I thought the whole now here again I'm relying on my like decrepit memory of artistic movements, but I thought the whole thing was that halos were really big in medieval art, like Gothic art, and that the whole thing with the Renaissance was it was a move away from the halos. Wasn't that the whole thing with halos in the Renaissance? Am I wrong? Was there a whole thing with halos in the Renaissance? What's the deal with halos in the Renaissance?
No, I think they had a ton of halos because those are all the religious paintings, weren't they? I'm looking up religious, like, and I don't see a lot of halos. Actually, I'm looking up the Renaissance, and
I thought it was like big in like the medieval period and Gothic, and I thought decline of the halo. There's actually a Wikipedia page called Halo and Religious Iconography. Okay, all right, girls, let's read about this. So with decline of the halo happened, Giotto was a huge Renaissance painter. In the early 15th century. So in the Renaissance, basically the halo was in decline. So this is just a long way for me to say.
There's still a lot
once
of
again,
them.
Malarkey is full of bullshit.
Yeah.
He saw one halo and is like, oh, well, the Renaissance is all about the halos.
Well, let me tell you, you know, I sure love the halos and the Giovanni di Paolo. I mean, those are great. Little kid trying to grab his mom's earring. You know how it goes. So you can tell I'm just scrolling through Google over here. I'm like, how many halos do I count?
In the Wikipedia page, it said, here's a line. In the High Renaissance, even most Italian painters dispense with halos altogether. So there, everyone. There,
there you have it. Malarkey and his thirsty expired halo, everybody.
Yeah, Malarkey spreading halo disinformation. Misinformation.
So then Karen, she's in Renaissance too, right? Or no, neoclassicism. Wait, isn't...
Yeah, she's in neoclassicism. She wants to do something that's straightforward. That's why she says, so I'm going to make a simple chicken dish. It's going to be, you know, just noble simplicity, a piece of chicken.
Okay, but wasn't Malarkey in neoclassicism too? He's not in Renaissance.
No, he was in Renaissance with Nini, remember? Because he sneered at Nini when she said, wanted to do Nola thing.
Yeah, well, Karen's right. I'm looking at the neoclassicism. Wow, this is like poor, sad people. It's like if there was a filter at the time, it would be like the dark filter, where they're like, hey, let's take a perfectly lovely day, but just make it look really dark and depressing. Okay, everybody?
Yeah, it's like those weird filters on Instagram that are towards the end of the list that you never get to. Like Kelvin. No one in the history of Instagram ever uses Kelvin.
And the paintings are all depressing. It's like all people like dying or fighting or just like having, you know, like a simple argument or just sitting around in ill-fitting togas just giving each other really forlorn looks like, oh, this sucks.
But you know, there's also like an austerity about it that probably would translate pretty easily, I think, to food and like high level food. And I think they were all looking at it as like simplicity instead of like austerity. And I think that's probably where a bunch of them definitely went awry.
Well, it should be perfect for Karen because it's just depressing. So Karen, you're crying the whole time. But yeah, I thought she was in real trouble when she's like, yeah, I'm going to do some bone-in chicken thighs.
Basically, I'm gonna do an airplane chicken and just call it a
gelatinous chicken. And then the guy at Whole Foods gives her a bag, and she like throws it up in the air to twist it, and it drops one. She's like, "God damn it, motherfucker!"
Look at me, the James Beard winner, dropping something on the floor. Mm-hmm. That's typical.
So then, let's see. Okay, so then Leanne is like, "My inspiration is the mother." Daughter or the mother child painting. So I'm gonna make duck and also duck eggs because of suckling of the mother.
It's like mother and daughter. It's because the Virgin Mary. And Malarkey is like, wow, Leanne has a lot of prep to do. More is not better. And that's me saying that. Me. Did you guys get that? Were you guys rolling? Because that was a funny comment by me. You want me to do that one again? Okay.
Hey, Lisa, what are you doing? And she's like, conflict, angry animals. Animals hate each other. Animals kicking ass. Animals losing out on a season they deserve to fucking win. All right, I'm doing Stephanie's head on a plate, upside down, all right?
You know that game Animal Crossing? It should be called Animals Fucking Each Other Up. That's what it should be called.
So then Nini is talking. Nini's like, so Lisa, so are you saying that you're torn between two civilizations? And she's like, yeah, I'm Jewish, but also Mexican. She's like, okay.
And she's like, actually, I'm Mexican. She's like, actually, my last name is Portuguese, but I'm just a white Jewish girl from Canada. I was like, I did not know that. That is okay.
All right. So then Brian is making a, I guess this is Voltaggio. He's like, yeah. Wow, Baroque, red snapper, because it's red. So I'm going to go with that. Like red art, they have red in art. That's a paint.
So. I saw a painting and I saw a pop of red, so I got some red snapper. Michael did me the favor of texting me saying that he just decided to do the challenge on his own for the fun of it, and he actually made a painting out of red snapper. So I guess he one up me again.
Yeah. And then Stephanie's like, well, I'm really inspired by that painting of like chunky chicks in a fountain or whatever, and like their curves reminded me of tortellini, so I'm guessing I was gonna use mortadella, and I was gonna say it's fleshy, but I don't think I should say that. Everyone hates me.
And Gregory is just doing like a short rib with a miso jus to represent the Asian influence of the Rococo period. So there's that. So then Karen is, so then they're all cooking, and then there's like this brief moment where Karen is like, hi, I'm just trying to get a teeny piece of space here. I've actually had no space the entire time I've been here. It's just, Just no. Okay. Okay. You're just giving me a pad to this is a pad. This is not a cutting board. This is a paper pad. This is not space. Okay. All right. I'll just stand over here.
Well, I don't want you to feel bad because it's time for Ludo to come in. Hello. It is me, Chef Ludo.
Yeah. Ludo Lefebvre comes in. And of course, Malarkey races up to him to give him some dap. Like, hey, bro, what's going on? Because as Ronnie and I have mentioned several times and is now being acknowledged on the show, Malarkey was a co-host on The Taste, which was Anthony Bourdain and Ludo Lefebvre and Nigella. And somehow Malarkey got cast on that show.
Season two. He wasn't in season one. Who was the one in season one? I think Malarkey came in season two. I could be wrong, but I think I'm correct. There was someone else in season one.
I'm looking at that.
Loved that show. Loved that show. Watched every episode, mostly because I love Anthony Bourdain and Nigella. Okay.
Nigella, yeah. Oh, it's Marcus. Yeah, you're right. I had three seasons. Malarkey. Oh, no. Malarkey was season one, I think. He was only one season. Ouch. Because he was replaced by Marcus Samuelson, it looks like.
Oh, okay. So I had it backwards.
Wow. That gives me such joy to know that he was actually kicked off the show. That is, deeply satisfying.
And he doesn't even acknowledge that he got the boot. Because he's like, oh, God, yeah. I love Ludo. We were co-hosts with Anthony Bourdain and Nigella on this television show. But that ended. So here I am on a bunk bed. It's going great. And Ludo's like, oh, man, you are so brave for doing this. This is crazy that you are doing this. And he's like, yeah, thanks. Because Eric's like, what the fuck are you doing competing again?
I know. By the way, my chief memory of Ludo Lefebvre, obviously he's a very acclaimed chef, but I will always remember that back in the day, did you ever watch The Apprentice back in the day? Did you ever used to watch it?
I've watched a few seasons of it.
There was one terrible season in Los Angeles, and one of the contestants was Ludo's wife, and he came in and cooked dinner for everyone. It was a whole thing. It's this is my husband. He's a chef. And everyone's like, wow. And now Ludo Lefebvre is Ludo Lefebvre. So that's I'm just mentioning that for anyone out there who also remembers that.
Memories of Ludo are from The Taste. I loved him. Just how he would yell at his team members and stuff. He's like, what are you doing? Come on. What was that girl's name? It was a really pretty girl.
You know, I don't remember. I didn't watch a lot of The Taste.
He was always yelling at her. Okay, well, half memories don't count. So anyway, he's like, I am Ludo. Oh, please, Malarkey, why are you doing this to yourself? Come on. And so he's going to be nice to Brian because he just feels sorry for him. He's like, you're so brave.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So, so Eric is he's poaching a halibut that represents some sort of reaction to the Rococo period. And then Jamie's going to be searing a chicken breast, but he's also sous-viding it or something like that. But the point is this, the sous-vide machine is out, which is always a death knell on Top Chef. I don't know why he's doing this. And Tom doesn't even know. He's like, so why are you doing the sous-vide? Why are you going to do that? You know, And Jamie basically is having Vietnam flashbacks to the first time he was on Top Chef and he served some horrific chicken in Charleston. And we see this shot of Padma eating it, being like, oh, this is absolutely terrible. What sort of non-famous person made this piece of shit?
I can tell you this much. Whoever made this chicken doesn't have an IMDb page.
I need to speak with your agent. Oh, that's right. You don't have one.
And then he makes the same mistake that so many chefs who have come before him use, where he's like, well, I made a mistake once, so I'm going to do it again and prove that I'm not the guy who messes up chicken. Chicken, you know, that's a dumb mistake to make because chicken is not the hardest meat. It's probably the easiest meat. And it's also the most hated meat on cooking shows. They're usually like, chicken, you're giving me fucking chicken breast. Come on.
Well, I actually don't think chicken is the easiest meat. I think that chicken actually has an chicken. It's the most ordinary or pedestrian, but I think it actually is very difficult because it can be easily overcooked if you're especially doing a breast. And you don't have the flexibility of undercooking it like you can with beef. So I think that chicken is very, very tricky. And It's tricky and also has the feeling of not feeling elevated. So if you mess it up, you're not only like not only is it easy to mess up, but it's also easy to make it feel like you just like not reached for the stars.
Okay, yeah. So then we could I'll go with that. That works for me.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That goes. That,
cool.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll stick with that. So then Tom's like, how are you going to get a depth with this chicken, Jamie? This chicken you're making. So what are you going to do there? And he's like, oh, I'm going to get depth through flavor, Tom. All right? It's hard to cook a lot of chicken. Tom's like, all right. Good luck, loser. Wow.
Looking forward to that jus that goes with that chicken. Well, I'll see you later. So then Jen is now talking to Kevin. The producer was like, hey, Jen, can you ask Kevin how he's doing? So she's like, yo, Kev, how's your lamb looking? And Kevin goes, I'm done. Just kidding. I'm not done. Really?
And then Padma's nod. Why am I saying Padma's nod?
Yes.
Oh, because we're at the judges.
Because the judges enter the restaurant.
Okay, yeah. So the judges come. And Padma's like, we're going to be eating a lot of food. Gail's like, why are you looking at me? Stop looking at me. Can I just have a moment?
Padma?
I even showed up today not thinking. Wearing a pattern. Oh, yeah, and you're wearing futuristic Mrs. Jetson sleeves. Wow.
I liked how when they walked in the restaurant, because it's this like crazy downtown restaurant with huge columns and stuff, and Padma goes, super beautiful is what people say to me all the time. What do they say to you, Gail?
So the yellow team is Renaissance, and it's Malarkey, Leanne, and Nini. And Nini presents her poached halibut and shrimp seafood gumbo. And Padma's like, She just kind of gives it a look. And then Malarkey's like, well, I noticed that the center of attention was biblical, and there was a halo on a painting, so I went with halos, which basically means I squirted some sauce onto a plate and made a circle, okay?
It's a halo of halibut, which we would think would mean it's a halo made of halibut, but it's actually just a halibut with a halo, so I guess my naming isn't so great, but guess what? I was on the taste first season, so anyway, Padma, I guess that makes me a famous person too, right? High five. High five. Don't leave me hanging here, Padma. Come on, Padma.
And Leanne's like, well, I was inspired by Madonna and Child. Madonna's gross. Children are gross. And, you know, I mean, basically, this is going to make you think of, I don't know, shitting the bed when you have a baby, or a baby suckling from you, which really hurts, or, like, basically, tons of shit that doesn't really make you want to eat. So, here's a duck and duck eggs. And so, enjoy that image in your head, guys.
And Padma just stares at her fork of Leanne's duck like, am I supposed to eat this? Ladies and gentlemen at the table, I think we can all agree that Leanne's dish is uniquely terrible. So if you'd like, please pass it all down to Gail. She'll take care of that for you.
So they start talking about it, and Gail's like, I really liked that Nini connected a renaissance to her own personal renaissance. Padma's just like, like hitting her on the head with a plate. Like, shut up, Gail.
Congratulations, Gail. You made a simple connection in life.
And Ludo's like, well, I like Malarkey. You know, I feel bad for him. Poor man. What is he doing? Throw a dollar at his face. That's what I say.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, Leanne, you know, too messy for me. Too messy for me. I cannot stand it. And Tom is like, yeah, I mean, if you look at Leanne's, I mean, the plating leans more toward the Rococo than the Renaissance, you know? Yeah, too much is going on. Sort of like Gail's patterns. Oh, you're not even wearing your patterns today, Gail. Wow.
Sleeves don't help, though. Am I right, Gail?
I actually believe she's wearing a thousand tiny patterns that just blend together and look like blue to the naked eye.
So who's next?
Baroque, the brown team. So Brian serves his red snapper with smoked sweet potato and celeriac. And Lisa serves chipotle braised brisket, dried fruit, and habanero pickled fruit. Angry animals! And Jamie has his seared chicken breast with charred citrus gremolata.
Yeah. And Ludo's like, I'm a big fan of chicken. Why not you? And he's like, no time to drizzle it. I ran out of time.
Like, da, 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 da.
Yeah. And they feel like Brian's dish was like just merely reacting to the colors, but was not really embracing the Rococo period.
Yeah.
And that, the Baroque period, and that Lisa's felt a little too brunchy.
Yeah, it just looked like a hash.
Yeah.
And they hated the chicken because it was overcooked. And Ludo's like, it was poorly executed. So then black team, or blue, whatever they are. Rococo.
So they serve, and all the dishes look amazing, and Padma's like, gorgeous. The serving looks beautiful, guys. Every single dish. They could all be like famous people, but they're not. I'm the only one famous here. Bye.
And Stephanie's like, I saw fat people, and I thought pasta. Delicious. Fleshy. Oh, why did I say fleshy? I was not supposed to say fleshy. You guys all hate me right now, don't you?
Padma's like, do you realize that your tortelloni is actually exactly equal to an Indian dish called masaplam? Did you know that? And you did a terrible job with it.
Nice Just job, kidding. Gringa. Okay.
By the way, so I actually like Stephanie, but you know what I really hated is that she served her tortelloni with, she called her sauce an umami naj. And I was like, I've never even heard of that, but from now I'm going to call upon my old French-speaking ways when I was from high school. And nage, I think, means beach. It's like beach. I think it's beach. Or is it like rain or something like that? But either way, she's like calling that sauce like an umami, some sort of like naturally occurring umami meteorological event of some sort. And that really drove me nuts.
Yeah, Stephanie just needs to perk up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because she's so depressed all the time. I don't want her to be depressed. I think she's so talented.
She has some redemption. Naj is the term used in the USA for a flavored liquid used for poaching delicate foods, typically seafood. A traditional naj is a broth flavored with white wine, vegetables, and herbs. But it still annoys me because, you know, it is cooking something a la naj translates to while swimming. So I'm like, don't make your tortellini swim in a mommy beach. Don't do that. I don't like it. I don't want to go swimming in an umami swimming pool. No.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good swim for sure.
It just like really bothered me. It's like one of those weird things that just got me.
Well, Melissa is like, I thought of luxury. So I was really inspired by nature as well, which is so luxurious. So I made lobster climbing a tree. It's delicious. And then Gregory made a Far East Asian dish with some French decor. Which is basically short ribs.
Yeah.
And they're all very impressed with all of their plating. Ludo's like, oh, beautiful, yeah. Guys. It is almost like you will have a chance and not blow it on national TV like malarkey. Somebody give malarkey this $5, please.
So, they all like them. And Tom's like, you know, I think the problem with Stephanie is that the pasta's just undercooked. You know, it's like undercooked. Sort of like if you have a plan to be a mixologist like my son and think you're going to just live off that. It's sort of like an undercooked plan, if you know what I'm saying, right? I think we can all agree with that.
Wow. So this is basically you've disappointed your father, pasta. Well, nice job.
Yeah. And then Gail's like, you know, I couldn't taste the grapes. I mean, don't give me a wavy gravy if you're going to give me a supple belly. And Padma goes, ha, wavy gravy. That was a good one, Gail.
Congratulations. You win the supple belly challenge, Gail.
Wavy gravy, or as I like to call it, Gail's hairstyle.
So they all basically loved their stuff, right?
And they love Melissa. Yeah, and Gregory said Melissa's could be a Michelin star dish. Yeah.
So then Karen, who looks like she's just been sobbing, she's like, I wish my plates were more beautiful.
Ooh. Yeah, she's like, it's not gonna work. It's very brown. It's not gonna work. I thought it looked delicious. I was like, give me that chicken, even though apparently it wasn't delicious. I thought it looked beautiful.
Yeah. So Eric has plated his poached halibut on a black plate. It's very like minimalism. It's very artistic. Yeah, yeah. And it looks very, very nice.
Neoclassicalism. Yes. And he served his poached halibut with like a buttermilk vinaigrette. And so Tom, like, he perks up. He's like, so here, buttermilk. What'd you use in that buttermilk? Please don't tell me it starts with an X and ends with an M. Because I do not like that. And he's like, xanthan. Tom's like, huh. At the moment he said xanthan, that's the other killer on this show. Xanthan and scallops.
Yeah, it's not good.
Let's just think about that for a
minute. Xanthan gum, guys. Gross. So Jen's like, eh, I made some goddamn fucking piece of shit snapper, fucker snapper. The snapper tried to fuck with me. I said, you're dead, stupid. All right? And then, you know, put some radish, some fennel radish, some corn, just a bunch of shit on there. Just fucking eat it.
It's neoclassical. I mean, what else the fuck do you want from this stupid art period? You want me to put some columns on it, make it look like ancient Rome again? What do you want?
Who did I put? I ignored theirs because of their plate. Whose plate? Someone used like a dark blue, like clay plate from Target. I got really mad.
Was it maybe Kevin? Well, so Karen,
yes,
did
Kevin's.
A braised chicken.
I said
chicken.
I ignored, yeah, Kevin's because of that plate.
Well, he made poached grilled lamb loin with some sort of olive thing, I think.
Yeah, I don't respect your plating, sir.
And Karen made braised chicken with chicories and brown butter and capers. So Tom basically is like, well, you know, here's my thing. I don't like the buttermilk and the xanthan gum. I mean, xanthan gum. Am I right, everyone? I mean, it starts with an X. What sort of ingredient starts with an X? Am I right? High five, someone.
And Gail's like, I am fascinated by Eric's dish. I really felt something with his story. I mean, feelings. Am I right, guys? Did anyone else feel anything? And Ludo's like, oh, I felt sorry for Malarkey. This is pretty much no matter what
and
I eat,
and then
Milu
pops
permeates
up and is like, foo-foo. Get out of here, fake girl. It's not a foo-foo moment.
And then Batman's like, and Kevin's. And Ludo's like, the black olive sauce. I don't know why I didn't like it. I don't know why. And Tom goes, because it's not good. That's why.
Yeah. And then there was a lady there. She's one of the owners of this restaurant called Kismet. And she goes, I mean, it was a lot of carrot tops. That's what I always say about Gail's patterns. It's a lot. Am I right, lady? New lady? Am I right?
A lot of carrot tops, otherwise known as lots of celebrities.
And Gail's like, she's talking about Karen's dish, and she's like, I just don't see how it related to neoclassicism at all. That's right, Gail. That's sort of like how I'm like, I don't understand how Oreos and chicken broth relate at all, but you still seem to eat them. I don't know.
Well, I felt that way about everything except Eric's. Some people suffered artistically, and some people suffered culinarily, and some people suffered shoulder sleevesily. Am I right, Gail? So, Jen's table.
Yes. So, our favorite dishes from each group belong to four non-famous people. Brian Malarkey, that's right, you are not famous. Brian Voltaggio, your brother is more famous. Melissa, I don't even know who you are. Are you a PA? And Eric, Nilu wants more foo-foo. Thank you.
So Ludo's like, oh, I love the dish of Malarkey. Colorful, texture on the dish. Oh, he's so poor. And Kale's like, well, I could taste each one of your art or whatever. And Tom's like, yeah, you know, the Renaissance symbolized rebirth. This could do that for you. If you continue to edit yourself, Malarkey, it's almost like you were reborn. Well, look at your skin. You look like a old man baby who's just come out of the womb and is creeping me out. Wow, how did that baby get dentures already? Someone?
I've never seen someone whose skin so accurately resembled an eggshell. Wow. So Padma's like, Melissa, did you know right away what you wanted to make, or were you just sort of winging it, sort of like Gail when she puts on her clothes in the morning?
And Melissa's like, yeah, well, you know, I heard luxury, and so that says lobster to me. Who doesn't love lobster? And Ludo's like, oh, the wonton, but also the broth with the wonton. Ooh, ooh, in the heart. Tom's like, well, it's quite stunning. Well.
And Ludo basically says it was a Michelin star wonton soup and a custom Malarkey, looking over at Melissa angrily like, what? How did you do that? I was like, fuck you, Malarkey.
So Melissa wins. And then Padma's like, all right, thank you, winners. Step to the side. Losers, come on.
No, not you, Gail. You're exempt this time.
So, you know, Stephanie's pasta was undercooked. I love how Padma is just such a bitch with every little thing. She's like, Jamie, how did this challenge go for you? which basically just means stupid. You stupid. You fucking idiot.
It's like, yeah, it's like he's in the bottom. I'm pretty sure you know how it went for him. So, Jamie, you're back in the bottom over stupid chicken. How do you feel about that? Hey, do you want to heat up a lean cuisine or are you going to fuck that up too? Gail is very insistent about Stephanie's pasta. She's like, you know, it was just, I wanted it served in a bowl so that way it could really be enveloped by sauce. Yeah, sort of like how Gail wishes she could be enveloped by Breyer's ice cream. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
Oh, Karen, I want to get to your shitty dish first. But first, Kevin, it's a good thing you have immunity or Karen wouldn't be here, all right? But you are, Kevin. I mean, but you are, Karen, because Kevin's an asshole.
Karen, how do you feel knowing that you're here but Kevin's not, and that he actually won immunity because of Cheetos and Wieners? How do you feel about that, Karen?
And Karen's like, I just wanted to do something simple, that's all. And Gail's like, well, there's a difference between simple and neoclassicism, okay? And Ludo says,
you did something simple. You were simply idiotic. Get out of here.
And then as they go to commercial, Gail is just sitting there with her chin on her hand, squinting. I love when Gail does that. She's like, I'm going to look like a real badass right now, no matter what Padma has to say about my sleeves. Look at me, thinking deeply.
You're a regular Rodan over there.
And then Kevin continues to make me fucking crazy. They're in the stew room, and Kevin's like, well, Padma didn't say much, but blast me. But I did use my immunity to try some new stuff out and to really expand my horizons in my story of the chapters. So that's pretty much why I failed.
And Karen's just glaring at him like, if I, a James Beard winner, go home before Pig Tattoo, I'm going to be pissed.
So Padma's like, a couple of our chefs got distracted by the art and lost the art of cooking. Get it?
Did you hear that, Ali Wong? That was a joke. I can open up for you.
Spirit fingers.
I'm funny. So Tom is like, well, you know, you have to express yourself through food. And if you don't have the culinary chops to pull it off, you'll wind up with dishes that are cartoonish, sort of like Malarkey's face when he wakes up in the morning. It's like, wow, it's like that fake Jessica Rabbit, you know, like, hey, Miss Rabbit, how are you doing? And whoa, it's Brian Malarkey.
It's like one of the fish in Mario Brothers. So give me that key so yeah. I can open the cage, Malarkey. How about that? So Tom, you know, basically they're like, yeah, the chicken, Jamie's chicken, it's a block of dried chicken. Not good.
Yeah. And they're talking about Leanne's dish, and Padma's like, a dish? There wasn't a dish. It was a collection of ingredients, sort of like Gail's outfit. It was just a collection of things and sleeves and patterns and spilled soy sauce. Disgusting.
Yeah. And Gail's like, yeah, Karen's dish was the opposite of neoclassicism. I just like saying neoclassicism over and over because Jen can't say it.
Oh, Gail, you're such a neoclassical expert. Wow. I wish you could be an expert on fashion. Hot. High five, Tom.
I don't even
high
know five, why Tom. Stephanie's in the bottom. She gave us a ton of flavor. And Tom's like, yeah, but undercooked pasta. I'm going to say it again. Undercooked pasta, fleshy pasta. There you go.
And don't forget, she did try to cook Indian food last week. Oh, that's right. What a stupid bitch. Fire her.
So Tom's like, all right, chefs, welcome back. No one's going home today for not being artistic. You're going home because you're a shitty chef and you deserve to die. And I hope that you get stung by a poisonous bee and your eyes pop out of your head. Padma?
Well, in case you didn't hear it before, seems like some of you guys were all into art and forgot about the art of cooking. Anyone? Anyone? No one's going to laugh? Okay. The chef going home is Jamie. Bye, stupid face.
And Tom's like, well, I just want, on the way out, I want you to not forget that I'm way richer than you, and yet I still wear bracelets made out of bungee cords. Okay, thanks. Yeah. You can go now.
So, yeah, we'll see you in Last Chance Kitchen. And I think last time you were there, you won 5 times in a row, which is pretty amazing, but you still actually lost the competition. So, you know. Have fun with that.
Loser.
Loser.
And that brings us...
Loser. I'll say it loudly.
And that brings us to the end of Top of Shifa, everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back on the next episode with some Shahs of Sunset. And, of course, go sign up on Patreon if you want to get involved with our big old Tiger King week. We're recapping all the remaining episodes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 this week, one new episode every single day. So go listen for that on our bonus episode and also on Crap Is On Demand. And we will see you on the next
Bye,
one.
Everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
With an Now TV Sky Cinema Pass, you can start streaming the best movies around. From brand new blockbusters like Rocketman and The Lion King to all-time favorites, including the Harry Potter collection. Whatever you feel like watching, we've got you covered. All with no contract. To start your 7-day free trial today, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto renews at $11.99 per month unless cancelled. Cancel at any time. Terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
So Some Families is a new podcast that explores every aspect of parenting through an LGBTQ plus lens.
I'm Lottie Jeffs, an author, journalist and reformed magazine editor and a mum of one.
I'm Stu Oakley, a film publicist who thought I was used to dealing with divas until I had toddlers.
Some Families will answer questions, break down myths and share funny, emotional and true stories. Subscribe now because seriously, you don't want to miss a single episode.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.